Welcome to Weymouth Community Church. We are streaming this Sunday and we'll be streaming next Sunday without in-person worship service today. I'm Russell Kennebrew, one of the elders here at the church, and filling in for Pastor Greg, who is on vacation this weekend, and next week we'll have Noah Pixton filling in for them. We're glad to have you joining us this day, and we'll give you a couple of announcements, then I'll pray after that. First thing I wanted to let you know is we are having a Christmas Eve service, Christmas Eve starting at 7:30. It will last about 40 minutes, and so everyone be able to make it home safely and within our curfew requirements. Sunday morning classes, there are no classes on the 27th or the 3rd, and we'll resume classes on January 10th. We received a thank you from Laura's home. We filled 27 stockings and other gifts and blankets along with that. And thank you to all who donated so generously. If you're interested in helping to make additional blankets for Laura's home, contact Linda Bradley. New in 2021, adult study group is forming. Possibly on Tuesdays or Thursdays, contact Doug Varner for information about that if you are interested. If you'd like to be added to our church, all church email, contact the church office for that, because, you know, bulletins, our announcements and stuff are going out to everyone through the email process. If you have a prayer request, also contact the church office. Options for worship through giving, you can give online just through the church website. You just click on donations there. You can give by mailing to the church at least for the next 2 weeks, and then when we resume in-person services, you can place your offering in the black box in the back of the church. At this point, Pastor Greg usually gives us what's on the pastor's heart. What has been on my heart lately is been aching for, not sure how to put this in words, but it's for our church, for our community, for our nation, is the polarization of it. And my heart has been aching for that, is that the lack of pursuing peace and unity. And that's about all I can say about this, because my thoughts and my other feelings about what's happening is just, haven't been able to put it in words at this point. So that's something that we can continue to pray about and think about, is why are we so polarized? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do seek your grace, your blessing this day. Lord, as we are coming into the season that we celebrate you for your incarnation, for Word becoming flesh. Lord, as we look to the day that we celebrate your birth, Lord, your day as beginning your sinless life here on earth. Lord, to redeem us and to to make us part of your family. Lord, as our families are struggling to get together through this season with the pandemic, we just pray for your encouraging spirit to be upon us. Lord, your wisdom to guide and direct us. Lord, your watch over us to keep us safe, to keep us close to you. And Father, that you are God and that you show yourself strong through this season. As we celebrate you, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Today would be the Sunday before Christmas Day. We generally hear a message related to the Christmas story. And I was instructed to stay along those lines. As I was thinking about the messages that I have heard over the years, what came to mind were messages focused on Mary or Joseph or the shepherds or the Magi. I couldn't really recall a message about the angels involved in the events surrounding the birth of Jesus. I can't say that I've heard a message focused on the angels, but just did not recall any where the angels was the primary focus of the message. Today, I wanted to share some thoughts on Gabriel and his involvement in announcing the birth of Jesus. In our Bibles, only two angels are mentioned by name, Gabriel and Micah. Gabriel appears in the book of Daniel and in Luke's gospel. Gabriel's name means God is great. In the book of Enoch, not included in our Bible, Gabriel is listed with archangels observing the corruption of the earth. Gabriel and the other angels plead with God to judge the wicked and protect the innocent. The book of Enoch also includes Gabriel as a participant in the execution of judgment on the wicked. Gabriel's appearance in the Bible seems to be related to the advent, the first and the second, of the Messiah into the world. In Gabriel's appearance to Daniel, he is described as looking like a man, but in such a way that Daniel became frightened and fell prostrate before him. Gabriel revives Daniel, strengthens and encourages him, then provides interpretation for the vision, provides instruction, insight with understanding. Turn with me to Luke chapter 1 in your Bible or your electronic device. Let's look at Gabriel's encounter with Zechariah. I want to first look at a little of the background for Gabriel's appearance to Zechariah. Starting with verse 5. In the time of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah. His wife Elizabeth was also a descendant of Aaron. Both of them were righteous in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commands and decrees blamelessly. They were childless because Elizabeth was not able to conceive, and they were both very old. Once in Zechariah's division, was on duty, and he was serving as priest before God. He was chosen by lot according to the custom of the priesthood, going into the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And when the time for the burning of incense came, all the assembled worshipers were praying outside. Luke gives us a time frame in the history for when this event occurs during the reign of Herod, the great king Herod the Great, king of Judea. Although the Jewish people were allowed to continue their religious practices, the government was controlled by foreigners. The Jewish people felt oppressed by a non-Jew sitting on the throne of their land. Knowing Herod was an Edomite and under control of the Roman Empire. Zechariah, whose name means remembered of Jehovah, and Elizabeth, whose name means one whose oath is to God, are both descendants of Aaron. Both are righteous and blameless before God. Zechariah was selected by lot. This is possibly a once-in-a-lifetime experience. There were about 20,000 in his group at that point. He was selected by lot to enter the holy place in the temple to burn incense on the altar. As Zechariah enters the holy place, the table of showbread would be on his right, the golden lamp on the left, with the altar straight ahead in front of him, and in front of the curtain before the Ark of the Covenant. Exodus 30, verse 7 and 8 tells us this offering Zechariah was bringing is to occur twice daily, morning and evening, as part of the priestly duties. There are a multitude of people outside praying. This may indicate that this would be a Sabbath day, that this is happening. The usual prayer at the time would have been for the coming of the Messiah and the restoration of the Davidic kingdom. Now let's turn to Luke 1, 11 through 20. Then the angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you will be called, and he will be called John. He will be a joy and delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or other fermented drink. He will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before he is born. He will bring back many of the people of Israel to the Lord their God. He will go on before the Lord in the sight and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the parents to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." Zechariah asked the angel, "How can I be sure of this? I am old and my wife is well along in years." The angel said to him, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and to tell you this good news. And you will be silent and not able to speak until the day this happens, because you did not believe my words, which will come true at their appointed time." As we think about this, Zechariah enters the holy place and encounters an angel standing at the right of the altar of incense. He is startled, gripped with fear. Was Gabriel's appearance sudden? Was Gabriel's appearance radiant? Or was Zechariah startled by someone just being in the holy place? The Bible doesn't say. An interesting side note, at least from my perspective, at one of the times Gabriel appears to Daniel is at the time of the evening sacrifice. I'm not saying that it was the evening sacrifice that Gabriel appears to Zechariah, because the Bible doesn't say. Gabriel's first words to Zechariah is for him not to be afraid. This phrase seems to be used a lot when there is an angelic appearance or when Christ shows up after his resurrection. Gabriel also tells him that his prayer has been heard. It isn't Zechariah's prayer at the moment as part of the priestly duties of burning incense for the people and for the coming Messiah to be revealed, or is it a prayer that has been consistently prayed over the years for a child? We do not know. What we do know is Zechariah is a righteous man. James tells us that prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. Gabriel has comforted Zechariah by telling him not to be afraid. And he has encouraged him by telling him his prayer has been heard, or his prayer has been answered. He will have a son and the advent of the Messiah, if you look at verse 17. Gabriel now informs Zechariah that his wife Elizabeth will bear a son and that he is to name him the child John. John means the grace of Jehovah. The child will be a joy and a delight to him, and many will rejoice because of his birth. And we see this taking place in Luke 1, 65 and 66. All the neighbors were filled with awe, and throughout the hill country of Judea, people were talking about all these things. Everyone who heard this wondered about it, asking, what then is this child going to be? For the Lord's hand was with him. Not only would the people rejoice with Zechariah and Elizabeth with the birth of the child, but the child would be great in the sight of the Lord. I know for Carol and I, it is a joy knowing that our own children, in their own ways, are serving the Lord. Just imagine what it would be like to know that your child will be great in the sight of the Lord. Next, Gabriel provides information about the child's lifestyle. He is never to take wine or other firmament drink. This is a vow of a Nazarite. This indicates the child will be set apart for the life, set apart for the Lord for life. The child will be filled with the Holy Spirit before birth. The child's life will be surrendered to and directed by the Holy Spirit. Just imagine knowing that for your child. Gabriel now provides Zechariah with information about the child's ministry, his mission. He will bring many of the people of Israel back to the Lord, their parents to their children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous. He will make ready a people prepared for the Lord. The child would fulfill the prophecy of the one to prepare the way for the Messiah. Zechariah has some doubt that he and Elizabeth can have a child due to their age. So, like many of us, Zechariah asks for a sign. How can he be sure that he and Elizabeth will be able to have a child? It was probably a prayer for many years for a child, a prayer at his age that he may have given up due to the probability having a child at his age. In verse 19, Gabriel identifies himself by name. He lets Zechariah know that he stands in the presence of God. He has been sent to tell Zechariah this good news. These were not Gabriel's words, but this was a message from God. Because of Zechariah's doubt, his disbelief, the sign that he asked for will be him not able to speak until the child is born. It is interesting that Zechariah does not speak until 8 days after the birth of the child. And the name John is given to him. Indeed, the grace of Jehovah is revealed. Instead of God moving on from Zechariah to someone else because of his disbelief, God demonstrated grace in performing his purpose through Zechariah. For us today, through this holiday season, may God be gracious to us when we lose sight of him working in our lives to make us more like his son. When we lose sight of God working and someone shares the good news with us, we can become like Zechariah and fall into disbelief. Then God becomes to us small, and we lose trust that he is the overcomer of whatever circumstances that we may be experiencing. I pray that as we're doing our Christmas celebrations differently through this pandemic, that we don't lose sight that God has prepared the way for his incarnate son to work in our hearts so that we may experience his joy and his peace. Now let us look at Mary's encounter with Gabriel. Luke 1:26. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, to a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name, Mary, the angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son. You are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. He will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And so it will be said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word be fulfilled." Then the angel left her. Last week, Pastor Greg looked at this passage to examine Mary's response to the message from Gabriel. I will try not to repeat what has already have been covered, but I can't make any promises. Luke 1, we see God setting the stage for his word becoming flesh. God sent Gabriel to Zechariah to announce the coming of the forerunner, John, whose ministry will prepare the hearts of the people to receive Emmanuel, God with us. I have a nephew who works for Passion Church. He is a point person for the conferences held all over the world. He is responsible for going to a location that a conference is scheduled ahead to make arrangements for the facilities they will be using, making sure all the equipment needs will be accommodated, and the coordination of the local ministries to assure all the needs of the for the conference are being addressed. He is the point person for Passion Church, like John was the point person to prepare for the ministry of Jesus. Now, God sends Gabriel to a little village in Galilee called Nazareth. In Nazareth, Gabriel goes to a young virgin named Mary. She is pledged in marriage to Joseph. The structure of the Greek could indicate that both are descendants of David. An observation. On the detail God provides for us in his word, Zechariah and Elizabeth could claim lineage to the priestly order of Aaron. Joseph and Mary could claim lineage to King David. This would confirm that Jesus would be in the line to succeed David as king of the Jews and the promised Messiah. Gabriel greets Mary with one of the highly as one who is highly favored, and the Lord is with her. Based on Mary's response to the greeting, Gabriel reassures her with the phrase, "Do not be afraid. You have found favor with God." The reassurance that Jesus, that she is highly favored and that the Lord is with her, would cast out all fear. It is like Gabriel telling her, "This message that I am bringing to you from God, he is in control. He's got this." Gabriel proceeds with telling Mary that she will conceive and give birth to a son, and that she should give him the name Jesus. Her son will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. This name, Jesus, would express that Mary's son will be a great deliverer and redeemer. Throughout the Old Testament, God's message to the prophets is that God himself will be Israel's deliverer and redeemer. Gabriel's announcement from God to Mary that she would conceive as a virgin and have a son, and that he would be the Son of the Most High, and that his name indicates he will be Savior, Redeemer. Indeed, Emmanuel, God with us to redeem us. Gabriel continues with, "The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." About 2,000 years ago, Gabriel shared this good news with Mary. And with the second advent of Jesus coming to the earth, we will see him on the throne of David, ruling Jacob's descendants forever. In response to Mary's question, "How?" Gabriel tells her, "The Holy Spirit will come on you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she was said to be unable to conceive, is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail." Gabriel reassures Mary that there is nothing impossible with God. So, this Sunday, before we celebrate Christmas, I want to reflect on Gabriel's good news to Zechariah and Mary. It is God's love that gave us his son to redeem us. It is by God's grace that he continues to work in us, even if we have doubt or disbelief. Remember, Emmanuel, God with us. God incarnate comes as a child. He lives a sinless life to become the perfect sacrifice as payment for our sin. He is raised and returns to the Father as our advocate. He has sent the Holy Spirit, who indwells us and imparts the righteousness of Christ to us, and enables us to walk humbly and take our next step. My challenge to us during this pandemic crisis, this Christmas: 1, trust that God is in control, and not doubt that he is able to accomplish his purposes. He will work this out for the good of all those who love him and are called according to his purpose. 2, as God has demonstrated grace to you, be gracious to others during this unusual, stressful season. And 3, as the angel said to the shepherds in the next chapter 2, Do not be afraid. Respond to the good news that will bring great joy for all people. Merry Christmas. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, indeed we're grateful to you for who you are. We thank you, Lord, that this season has been set aside to celebrate, Lord, and to recognize your first coming into this world. We thank you and praise you for what that means to us, that you love us, that you gave your son to die for us, that we may have life with you. Lord, as this season continues through and through the new year, we just pray that our hearts will be focused on you, that we can serve you and serve each other, and that your grace and your face will shine upon us, that we will have your peace in all that we do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you.